All right.
The NYPD has arrested an anime character. Apparently, someone from in some sort of like Chris Chan style merging of the universes.
Oh, Jesus. Be careful knowing too much about Chris Chan. You're going to get canceled.
Yeah, yeah. No, that is the first and last thing I'm going to say about Chris Chan on this. This show, it looks like someone had a gun blade, and then NYPD arrested them.
Yeah, and yeah,
it clearly looks like 3D printed or something.
Yeah,
it looks really fake. It doesn't look like a gun.
It doesn't look like a gun blade. It looks like
a piece of plastic that somebody carried to a steampunk themed Renaissance festival.
Yes. And the full thing is that there's a tweet from NYPD News that goes, recently, your NYPD 90th Precinct patrol cops responded to a call of a man with a gun in Brooklyn. Thanks to the swift response and help from the community, an individual currently on probation possessing this weapon and fake FBI shield was safely apprehended and taken to jail.
Imagine somebody holding up a fake badge and a knife gun and trying to do something with that.
Yeah.
Like, put your hands up, I'm a cop with a knife gun.
Yeah, it's like, I'm pretty sure that's not a standard issue sidearm.
No.
It's in FBI. A sheath.
It's in like a leather, like handmade leather sheath.
Or it's like, no, it's like the, it's not leather.
Is it like plastic?
Yeah. I think it usually probably holds like the machete that you get at Walmart.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
like, the whole like thing is obviously plastic. Yeah, like, come on, guys.
It's extremely plastic. And which is great that they put like a zip tie through this fake ass barrel.
Well, it's funny because also, like, it's a zip tie through the rotary mechanism of the revolver, which isn't even a way of like making the gun unable to fire most revolvers. Like, they fire the round that's in the chamber and then they rotate.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, it's a very silly fucking thing. It's hilarious. Hilarious that they posted this L about
and also like you can look zoom in on the photo and there is no hole in the barrel.
Yeah, no,
and there's nothing is coming out of this barrel.
And there's like a scene. Oh, God,
we'll post the tweet on the show notes.
So yeah, the two clamshell halves come together. Yeah. I took the screenshot and actually dropped it in the Discord I'm in for like airsoft 3D printing enthusiasts. I'm like, which one of you guys is in jail right now? It's a bit of a thing there in that Discord.
Yeah.
Cosplaying, another thing that is not a crime, but the police will treat it as if it is.
Yep. Even though that's all they do all day.
It's cosplay. We're going to pull a little switcheroo on you. A couple of weeks ago, we did some newsy stories in the main and then cop stories in the bonus. Instead, we got a bunch of cop stories today. We're going to do those up front.
Yeah, I was going to dump them on you. So
if you want to listen to anything not cop related, you're going to have to go to patreon.com.
Yeah, or just skip ahead to, and then we'll insert the timestamp that we stopped talking about cop stuff right now here.
I'm not going back and inserting a timestamp.
All right.
That's too much work for my producer.
7 minutes. Let's go.
Yeah, that's it. That's
I'm
all.
Gonna think that's yeah. maybe not yeah, giving we'll, ourselves enough time.
We'll just run through this parade of death in 7 minutes. Yeah. Don't blame us. Blame the Times Union. They've been doing a really good job.
They've been covering a lot of cop shit. Yeah. We're all avid Times Union readers. Yeah. So, you know,
subscribe to your local newspaper, folks.
I get the headlines in my inbox, so I can't avoid it.
Yeah. So first up, Troy police car crashes resulted in 36 injuries and one death since 2012.
Wow.
Like, the most generous read that you can give this is that we keep putting too many computers in the cars, in their patrol cars. Like,
yeah, they're watching too much Netflix.
Yeah, and so they're distracted. They're distracted drivers. Like, you can't drive with your phone open. They have a full-ass computer. And then like the radio going like that's now encrypted, so you can't find out what they're talking about. And you got then you got their phone, and they're also driving without their seatbelt most of the time. It was found.
They're also jerking off.
and they're probably jerking off. So, like, that's all of those things.
Eating a donut at the same time.
Are pretty distracting.
Like, as much as I'm, like, skeptical of, like, you know, autopilot features on vehicles like Teslas and stuff, like, I wonder how statistically it would actually reduce the injuries of cops if they couldn't drive their own cars.
Interesting. You think the average cop is a worse driver than autopilot?
It could be.
It could be. I agree.
I mean, like, at least the autopilot isn't, like, you know, having the fight or flight emotional situation when they're, like, responding to, I don't know, like a traffic violation or something, you know, and they're rushing across the town at Mach 2.
Right. I mean, so this story actually opens with a story about our friend Danny Killian when he was hit in January 2020 at 105th Street in Troy. He's on his way to pick up his kid. He's listening to NPR on the radio. The stoplight ahead of him was green, and then he was T-boned by a Troy police officer and woke up in the emergency room
the next day.
The next day,
he was in a coma. That's pretty serious injury.
He lost consciousness for like almost a whole day.
He says in the interview with the Times that he has a hard time like paying attention to basic tasks now. Like his brain isn't functioning as well as it was before the accident.
Yeah. And since 2012, so a little over a decade, Troy police car collisions have resulted in 36 such injuries to officers and civilians. And one person has died. And of course, that one person that died, we've covered on the show, Sabia Al-Alkawi was a pizza delivery driver and a young father of two twins who was killed when he was struck by a vehicle going over 90 miles an hour, or nearly 90 miles an hour.
On Hoosick.
And several of the stories that we're going to cover today, it points out that Troy police have been hit at that exact intersection in that exact way before by, wait for it, Rensselaer County sheriffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a few years ago, there was an instance where a Rensselaer County sheriff going in the same direction, westbound down the hill in Hoosick, hit a Troy police car going southbound, the same direction that
Al-Alkawi
was going, and they you know, that was obviously a much less significant crash.
Well, because it's two SUVs.
I don't think the Rensselaer County sheriff was going. Was going 90. We also find that Austin Wilcox Jr., the officer that hit Al-Alkawi, had several. He actually had the worst driving record of the Troy PD.
Oh my god!
He once got out of his patrol car, leaving it in reverse, and it went back down River Street and hit a parked car.
Sorry, that's
wow.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Yeah.
Talk about distracted driving.
Yeah. Distracted
some fucking
parking.
Mayberry shit.
Distracted parking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fuck are we going to do?
You want to do... There's a couple ways we could go with this. We could talk about other police crashes, or we could talk about the beef between Troy police officers and Rensselaer County.
Yeah.
Was it Rensselaer County or was it State Police?
It was State Police.
It was State Police.
Right. Yes, so, I do want to get to
on the theme of cop-on-cop animosity and violence.
It's sad. You hate to see it.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, of the 141 crashes, 141 that the Times Union was able to find out, which this isn't just, like, easily reported.
This is FOIA.
This requires FOIA requests and then, like, also... like follow-up reporting from that, because as we'll see in another article that looks at statewide police crashes, the information is not uniform and is very frequently incorrect. But of the 141 crashes, the plurality of them, 39%, were police cars hitting a civilian car, followed by a quarter of them were civilians hitting police cars.
Many of which were parked cars.
And then there's another 17% that were parked cruisers that were struck. 3%, which of 141 translates to confusingly like 4.25. So I don't know exactly what that
up or down.
Yeah. Are police cars hitting civilians?
Pedestrians.
Sorry. Troy police hitting.
And that's reported ones. For example, the one I saw was not reported because the cop got out of the car and intimidated the person that he hit and said, like, listen, like, you know, like, I'm a cop. And if you try to push this issue, you're the one that's going to go to jail.
Yeah.
And then the kid was like, okay, fuck never you. Mind. And like, ran away.
Jesus.
Yeah. So, so that's obviously not counted. Right. And so there are four people out there, hopefully still walking around Troy that were hit by a police car and actually got to the point where it could be recorded somewhere. You could imagine how many more have not been because at least from the three of us just in this room, we've witnessed one that was not reported.
Yeah.
Like, so
that was like back in 2010.
Yeah. If a Troy police officer has hit you with their cruiser, ironweedspod@gmail.com.
We want to hear from you.
Yeah, we want to hear about that one. Let's take a minute to laugh before we get back into the statewide level of this.
Okay, all right.
this problem. yeah. Okay. Troy officers taunted troopers, told them to leave their city.
okay, that was a Duchenne. Wow.
This is legitimately extremely funny. I think.
So where were they?
Yeah, they were in a Price Chopper parking lot.
Yes.
Okay.
It doesn't say which one, unfortunately, because I would like to go to that scene and recreate it line by line.
In the Lansingburg area.
Yeah.
So
okay, so then that has to be there's only one
Price Chopper.
Yeah, and it's gone now. So it's like a former Price Chopper parking lot, I guess.
No, there's one by Pleasantdale, I think.
Is there?
Yeah, I think there's one way the fuck out there.
Okay.
Either way. So these four Troy Police City officers circled their patrol cars around two troopers, taunting them with spotlights and using their loudspeakers to tell them that they don't belong here, taunting them to leave the city.
When I found out about it, I was pretty upset about it because I'm friends with a lot of troopers. Troy Police Chief Daniel DeWolf said.
Yeah. It shouldn't have happened. It was childish and it was unprofessional. An internal investigation was conducted. It's just concluding and the officers are going to be disciplined.
They are going to get a spanking.
They're probably going to get desk duty for a week and, you know, maybe suspended for 2 days with pay.
Yeah, they're going to get their patrol car Netflix account suspended for a couple days.
Right, yeah. the officers were the most junior out of them all, so that's good. We're strong. Strong start for all of the officers we've just hired.
Yeah, this is actually like a part of their initiation.
Yeah,
We hear about the tasing, but, you know, the harass stadies is just another thing that you get a challenge coin for. And then you're like a legit part of the gang.
Yeah. We just hired 8 new ones in the last.
Another 8.
Yeah, another 8. So can we find out what they do?
Yeah, there was 8 the previous year.
Yeah.
Listener.
Yeah.
In a city of 50,000.
Yeah, and I think we are down to like 2 people that work in the water department. Like, incredible.
Which is falling apart.
Yeah, yeah. They said they did it for quote unquote pride.
Okay. Well, you know,
wait till June.
Oh man.
Yeah, Pride Month in Troy PD is going to be fierce.
We're getting a pride parade this year.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh,
that's cool. Yeah, Troy is putting together
that's awesome.
A pride parade,
sponsored by Citibank.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I actually think they're trying to make it a like something that's not as
corporate
as the usual one, which will be good to see.
One thing I learned from this article is that for many years the Albany Police Department did not allow state troopers in their city. Really? Or was it county sheriffs?
Yeah, where was that? Yeah, turf battles involving police agencies are not unusual, which, I mean, come on, man. but most, including the city of Albany's longstanding directive to state police and sheriff's patrols not to invade their borders, faded decades ago. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So both of them.
Definitely not gang activity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, that had to have faded because I remember at Occupy Albany, it was the state police that were showing up, and you would just like. It was the weirdest ritual. I hated it so much.
Yeah,
where,
it was
like,
bad.
Yeah, where there was like a city park and then like in this invisible line where it became a state park.
Yep.
And you could, every once in a while, everyone would just kind of like line up and like walk over to the state part, and a state patrolman would politely arrest you.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened.
Yeah.
And I didn't really, I never did it. I never understood what that was. I didn't really get it.
Well, it was just some bullshit. Basically, the existence of that encampment was an embarrassment as far as the mayor was concerned and as far as Cuomo was concerned. But I think the local DA, Soares, as we were talking about earlier, basically promised to not prosecute any nonviolent arrests associated with it in an effort to ingratiate himself with the voting populace or something like that. And they exclusively use state police to enforce like a eviction like effort at first, but eventually it was the Albany PD that actually like cracked heads and like, you know, deployed tear gas and pepper spray and like literally forced people out. So it was one of those things that like the people who were getting arrested were doing it on like basically like this is unconstitutional, like, you know, I'm not going to get in trouble, but like it's pretty ridiculous that you guys are spending these resources in this way, and like if you say that we can't like be in a public park, like we're going to be, and then we're gonna get arrested, I guess, because you guys are ridiculous. But yeah, nothing really.
It is you that is ridiculous, actually.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know, it's just like nothing really meaningfully occurred or transpired, but it was just some bullshit, and a lot of stadies getting overtime,
so much overtime. Which there's also a Times Union article. We won't really go too much into it, but the Saratoga Springs, the Times Union has done this recently where they'll just like pick a city and like see who's the highest paid, and it's invariably police officers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like not even the highest ranked police officers. And then like, so like in Saratoga, it went police officer, the fire chief, police officer.
Jesus Christ.
And they often like, come close to doubling their salary with overtime. So that is cool. Speaking of which, you know, there was a community meeting where the CEO of St. Peter's Health Partners finally showed his face in Troy.
This was for the Save Burdette Center?
Yeah, I was there. And, it's just, you know, they line up all the executives and they get to, like, you know, get roasted for 2 hours in a way that is not nearly as funny as a Comedy Central roast, you know, but there's a lot more substance to it. And there were so many cops just sitting there collecting overtime. I was so pissed. We got to find out how much of my tax dollars went to protecting CEOs from me.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like
from all these dangerous mothers with their babies.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was also a great sign that it was like Troy Burdette you know, birthing center conversation, no strollers allowed.
The irony.
That was a real sign. Yeah, it was like no weapons,
no strollers.
Yeah, Burdette birth event, no weapons, no backpacks, no large signs or paper larger than 8x14 (parentheses legal size). It's for the lawyers. No strollers inside meeting rooms. All persons entering are subject to search. It's a big old red sign. Wow. It's like, you know, very, very welcoming.
Yeah. Statewide crashes.
Yeah. So this is a very comprehensive article that I went through the whole thing. It's really fascinating. There's like some interesting stuff in there. But The big takeaways here are, one, you know, in any of the deaths from these car crashes, 90% of them with police officers, 90% of them are the civilian, not the officer. It is the second highest cause of death for police officers. I believe the first one is still COVID right now. But close behind it is just getting to the site, the issue in the first place, which I think is like, I think we should, I don't know, that seems like something that should be talked about more, is that like, if police police are in a vast majority of cases in danger getting to a call than the call itself.
Yep.
Which is and the reasons for that are because one, like the most generous read is that they are driving distracted at a very high rate of speed due to the nature of their job, and they never wear their seatbelt because the seatbelt can keep them from leaping out of their car fast when they get to the scene something.
It's covered in woke mind virus.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So. Yeah.
And apparently true. It also tangles with your utility belt, which, you know.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with cops not wearing seatbelts. That's so. Fine with me. Comrade seatbelt.
Yeah. And the problem is getting worse. Fatal police car collisions in the U.S., so nationally, increased 30% over the last 12 years.
Jesus.
Most of the fatalities are civilian drivers, pedestrians, motorcyclists, or bicyclists. And
it's probably the arms race of these vehicle sizes.
Yeah.
Now cops aren't the only ones riding around on the street in tanks. Yeah. Like, now half the populace has tanks on the road.
Yeah. But the police cars are getting bigger too, right? Like,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Because the Troy Police Department, they're all SUVs now.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait until like Biden like electrifies the police, you know, right. Fleet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just wait for that.
New York law exempts police from wearing seatbelts and allows them to exceed speed limits and go through traffic signals. But they must, quote from the law, drive with due regard for the safety of all persons.
Which is a totally enforceable law.
Yeah. And does not happen.
Who gets to litigate whether or not a cop was driving with regard for the safety of all persons?
The police department. Yeah. So that's another reason perhaps why, you know, records on this are spotty. There have been 58 fatal police car crashes since 2012 in New York. 85% of the crashes caused civilian deaths.
Jesus.
Again, so there have been 58 fatal police car crashes since 2012. 85% of those fatalities were the civilian.
Keeping us safe.
Nine of those crashes happened while in pursuit. The other 40.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Only 9.
Wow.
All the other ones are just the cop going to something.
Yeah. So, yeah, 49 of those.
Jesus Christ.
One third of the fatal crashes came from a police car hitting a civilian car. Police car hit a civilian car 20 times, a pedestrian 19 times, an object 5 times, and a cyclist 2 times. A civilian hit the police car 16 times.
Jesus.
So again, right, so I, you know, the headline, one third of fatal crashes come from a police car hitting a civilian car, but the vast, vast majority are the police car hitting someone else. Only 16 of the 58 times are a civilian hitting the police car.
Be careful out there, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drive safe, walk safe, bike safe, as if there's fucking anything you can do to avoid these freaks.
Yeah. And embrace a comrade safety belt.
For real, man.
I'll wear your seatbelt, man. Yeah. Come on. Gotta wear your seatbelt.
from the article, there is relatively little information available about injuries stemming from police-involved crashes. One study of police crashes in California from 2000 to 2009 found 21% of those collisions resulted in injury to the officer, with 7,684 officers injured during that period. The study did not collect data on injuries to civilians involved in those crashes. So,
Jesus Christ.
In New York, Yonkers had at least 14 officers injured in crashes in 2023, just in 2023, as well as 8 civilian injuries. Syracuse saw 5 officers and 6 civilians injured in crashes last year. Now, Syracuse is also really interesting because there's something nuts going on in Syracuse. The Syracuse Police Department wrote in their internal records that liability for the crashes was, quote-unquote, ours in 51% of their officers-involved crashes from 16 to 23. The Syracuse Corporation Council later said that was, quote, not a determination of liability, but a review of details and factors which determine whether the claim is eligible to be forwarded to the City Hall Claims Department, unquote.
Oh, my God.
Yonkers Police Department found 45% of their crashes in 2023 were quote-unquote unavoidable, which means 55% of them were avoidable.
And also, what the fuck does that mean, they were unavoidable? Every crash is avoidable.
Yeah.
Every single car crash is avoidable.
Yeah. And yet.
By both parties driving normal.
And yet.
Jesus Christ.
Most of them were avoidable.
Oh my God.
State police determined that a quarter of their cruisers' crashes, more than 2,000 in the last decade. That means in this past decade, they've made 8,000 crashes, could have been prevented by the trooper.
Jesus Christ. How do they get that record? How are the police letting these records get out?
Yeah, I mean, I guess these are FOIL requests.
Stop keeping records of that shit, yeah. Cops.
And then it comes down to like the damages, right? Like, not, you know, the deaths are incredible. Like, these are just the incredible rate of like death here, but the amount of money that we pay so that like they can just like drive with no liability requirement whatsoever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is astronomical. The state police data suggests their cruisers sustained $27 million in damages since 2012.
What?
An average of $3,700 per accident. The Syracuse Police Department, and Syracuse keeps showing up here, which is about a tenth the size of the state police force.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Endured $2.4 million in damages since 2012. They've totaled an average of 5 cruisers per year since 2012.
Jesus.
What the
Syracuse
fuck is going on?
Syracuse totals 5 of its cruisers every year, on average.
That makes it sound like they're doing it for fun.
And this is like a small city, right?
I mean, Syracuse is probably, I think, the third largest city in New York.
Like over 100,000?
Behind Buffalo. And yeah, it's more than 100,000. Okay. Like, five a year. They're just like run these things into guardrails and people and other cars. It's
sounds like they need more training or autopilot.
New York City paid $246 million to settle personal injury claims involving New York City Police Department cars from 2012 to 2021. The average crash claim has increased dramatically over the last decade.
Do we want to go to the tech fix being proposed in San Francisco?
just to end here, because this will dovetail nicely. Why police crash?
Okay.
Right?
Most common situations underlying New York police car crashes were unsafe backing up.
Oh my God. Oh, I'm sorry to laugh, but that's just so stupid. That's so profoundly stupid.
Distracted driving.
Uh-huh.
Dangerous speeds and deer. Many are minor crashes happening while officers are on patrol or in parking lots. For example, a Buffalo police officer rear-ended a car in a Burger King drive-thru in 2023. State police cars not placed in park rolled away more than 24 times in the last 3 years.
Wait, hang on a second. How do you back into a car in a driveway?
In a drive-thru?
Or in a drive-thru, rather. You're only supposed to go forward in the drive-thru.
I mean, someone ahead of you is ordering 55 burgers, 55 pizzas, 55 fries. I don't know. State police cars not placed in park rolled away more than 24 times in the last 3 years.
Well, if they don't have time to take off a seatbelt, how are we expect them to have time to put the car in park?
Another common crash scenario involves officers rushing to a call, like the officers who struck a Long Island, a 13-year-old Anthony Stinden, killed him.
Oh my God.
A study of crashes took place when officers proceeded through intersections against a red light. The Times Union found Troy police officers have struck multiple civilian drivers while driving through stoplights. And then they reference again Sabia Alawaki. Austin Wilcox Jr. was another such incident where he had just paid off his Nissan Suburb, when a Troy police cruiser with lights but no siren pummeled into the front wheel well and destroyed the car.
That fucking sucks, man.
Yeah, it had to be totaled. Sympathetic read here is, as a trooper, you are probably going to go 100 miles per hour every shift, said senior investigator Timothy Deisman, president of the New York State Police Investigators Association. You're driving to a shots fired call. You've got to travel 18 miles. You have to cross through two villages, and you hear a 911 dispatcher saying the person is screaming on the phone. There's the adrenaline rush that is associated with these calls that can lead to really awful tragedy. They've been adding all this technology into a cruiser with absolutely no overall study of like distracted driving.
Yeah.
So we just like keep plugging things into these.
We're just getting pinged cars, left and right.
And so they get all this information, and it's like, you know, airplane cockpits, for example, are designed like as a whole to limit to figure out like, you know, when something goes off, when an alarm goes off, it gets the pilot's attention for that one thing, and they deal with it, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of work goes into designing all this information so that you get the right stuff at the right time and it doesn't become overwhelming. And none of that's gone into police cruisers, which have become these, like, mobile command stations, you know? And so that go 100 miles an hour, you know? So it's like, how the hell are they supposed to drive normally? And it's only getting worse. Like, these rates just keep going up. And the only thing we can point to is that the cars are getting bigger. They're more powerful. They're all-wheel drive cars that are heavier, bigger. And the officers driving them are younger because there's a wave of retirements going on now.
Yeah.
And so you have a bunch of people who get like a week of training when they're in the academy for like.
Yeah, that's another thing they say, that they get driving. Like 1 week of training during the academy. No follow up training.
Yeah. And so, for example, the Troy Police Department did their last training in 2016.
Can I go back for 1 second to the thing that you said that cop said about 18 miles? I do not believe for 1 second that there is a single place in New York State that doesn't have a cop within 18 miles of it.
Of course
not. That's not a real place. If anything that happens in Troy, how big is Troy? Miles wide?
Seven.
It's a long city, but miles. It's narrow.
Yeah.
There's no fucking way that these cops have that far a distance to travel that they need to drive 100 miles to get there.
Yeah, and I know that, I mean, because they've said this, that the police department divides up the city into zones, and then they assign an officer to each zone, which, you know, I would mean that you don't have to go very far anytime something is going on. However, how many times have you seen multiple officers, like, parked, you know, they do that thing where they park in opposite directions, leave their cars running, and they're, like, I don't know, probably doing their fantasy football or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like, that, I imagine they're either not, they're not in their zone.
I saw eight patrol SUVs in a traffic stop in, like, downtown Troy the other day.
When Al-Alkawi was hit, they were leaving the Cumberland Farms gas station, which is in New Brunswick.
Yeah.
Like, that's not even technically in Troy. But but three cruisers were at the Cumberland Farms up up Hoosick, a street that is incredibly difficult to navigate and is very dangerous.
Yeah.
And they put all of their cruisers up there, and then, gosh, something happens, and they drive 90 miles an hour down the most dangerous street in the city.
Yeah.
So, like, another thing that is pretty avoidable here, right, is,
Well, tech is on the case.
Yeah, we have a solution. We have a solution to this problem.
Time to fix it.
Yeah, back in, I think it was 2019, it was a video news thing, so I don't have, like, the transcript in front of me, but back in, like, 2019, San Francisco did the dutiful work of banning facial recognition technology from the use of law enforcement.
Yeah.
You know, this makes a lot of sense. It's, you know, like, pretty unconstitutional infringement on people to just have every single time a cop camera passes you, like, a, you know, the Terminator vision, knowing exactly who you are and, like, the whole deal.
And this was, like, during, like, the big, like, tech lash sort of thing
where, yes,
like, liberals had heard about Cambridge Analytica, yes, and conservatives were, like, the social media is out to get Donald Trump, and so, like, it was a perfect moment
And,
like, to get people to, like, push back against
it was when Google was, like, having internal, like, letters of dissent being like, you know, we had a promise not to do evil, and all these people who've, you know, since been kicked out of the company.
Yeah. They also solved that problem by getting rid of that
slogan.
Yeah.
So anyway, San Francisco is now looking to embrace all authoritarian and dystopian surveillance and technological solutions. They have now completely allowed for driverless vehicles to be taxis in the city, and it's very weird to be there. But now they're going to have a vote coming up, which will allow for drones to be deployed by law enforcement in huge numbers. And the idea is, you know, according to their mayor, that this would allow for, like, essentially incredibly fast eyes on the scene reports, so that somebody calls 911, GPS location of their phone, dispatches a drone, the drone shows up on site and is already giving video feed to distracted driver. That will be driving here. And, like, who knows? It'll probably have, like, an AI video rendition of what could be happening inside the house.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, to just, like, get them emotionally amped for the right situation.
Yeah. It was like, we've discovered there is a gorilla inside the house. That's with 98% probability.
This is what come in might, armed. This is what it might be looking like, ripping apart the child. hopefully San Fran does the right thing again and votes to not allow this shit.
Yeah.
But listening to the mayor is like, listen, this stuff's coming whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, we're the heart of the tech industry. Like, this is just inevitable.
Yeah.
I did see this really funny video of a Waymo. They were, I think what it was firefighters were putting out a fire, and they had a hose out. And the Waymo was trying to drive over the hose.
Oh, no.
And this cop is trying to keep it from driving over the hose. So the cop has to just stand in front of the car. But the car keeps creeping forward anyway.
And he pulls his gun out on the Waymo.
The one time.
Stop resisting.
Yeah. Well, actually, the way that you can get those to stop is to put a road cone on the hood.
I mean, he was standing in front of the car. Yeah. And it was still, like, inching forward little by little.
But that's been a thing that people have been doing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
They probably have countervailing issues. Longer works.
Yeah, like I won't say I would hope, but I would think that, like, they could fix that.
Oh, man.
Fairly quickly, right? I don't know. I mean, I guess it couldn't be a software problem if, like, the fact is that, like, there's a the camera that does it, like, gets blocked by a road cone, right?
So And so California is just going through total dystopia in an accelerating way. I mean, they're out of water. They've got, you know, crazy environmental disasters, wildfires to droughts and everything else. They have...
They just had a blizzard.
And they have a ton of people who are in a housing crisis, not a homelessness crisis. It's a fact that people are made homeless because they can't afford housing, but that is not the way that the state is responding to this at all, and is now trying to make state law more lax on cracking down on encampments and dispossessing people who have very few possessions of all of their shit and just moving them around. And this is going on in San Diego, this is going on in San Francisco, and structural or actually effective strategy of trying to create affordable housing, which is how you solve homelessness at all. And it sucks because California is beautiful. California is, you know, the most populous state in the nation, I think. And it's just absolutely ridiculous where the priorities of the state are going.
According to apartments.com, the average rent in San Francisco, California is $2,823 per month, which is 89% higher than the national average.
Yes. Jesus.
And how about San Diego?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we could look at San Diego, too.
My brother lives in San Diego and has had a hell of a time with his housing, you know, from mold. Totally unabated, to just, you know, like literally not being able to find any single place below $2,500.
Oh, okay. No, this is a lot more affordable. $2,238 a month.
Wow.
That's only 49% higher than the national average.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. It's like nothing.
We need to send drones to encampments to clear them out.
And you think of like the it's like this goofy little like DJI parrot thing that just has like a little camera on it, and I guess like they're gonna try to put like a loudspeaker on it. I imagine also it would just like disperse immediately. I don't know. I'm just like thinking like the most RoboCop bullshit.
Yeah, RoboCop is coming to San Francisco.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah, you thought it was gonna be Detroit, but it turns out it's actually gonna be San Francisco.
No, they're gonna have RoboCops like. Full-fledged, you know, robotic dogs with like guns in their mouths.
Sharks with lasers on their freaking foreheads.
I don't know. Shit's bleak.
Yeah.
In brighter news, there was a really great showing at the rally to end the genocide in Gaza in downtown Troy yesterday.
Brittany and I weren't able to make it. What happened?
It was really like sort of shitty weather. It was like raining and windy and cold. And despite that, my estimate is somewhere between like 500 and 600 people or so showed up and, had a really enthusiastic rally, clear chants, you know, ceasefire now, talking about how Israel and the United States are terror states. And there's a lot of people with, you know, a clear eyes and good hearts in the city, and nobody got hurt. There was really great organization, de-escalation. There were a couple people on substances that showed up, and there were no, you know, near misses with traffic or anything like that. And so, you know, like I feel relieved, you know, considering that those statistics you read earlier about the Troy PD. It went off basically without a hitch. And so there'll probably be more coming in the coming weeks. And I don't know, it gave me life yesterday. Today I'm feeling a lot more sobered by what I, you know, I'm reading on the news and everything. But it was nice to attend.
That's great.
And it was nice to use the, I saw photos and videos where you use the big gravel pit that's in the middle of Troy now.
Yeah, hell yeah. Let that be the new protest site. Yeah. That's great. That
David Bryce left us as a little present.
Yeah, and it was very, like, Woodstock vibes at the end, because, you know, people were really enthusiastic and really appreciating each other showing up, you know, for human rights and for, you know, at the end of this horrible, horrible genocide. And there were a lot of Palestinians, as we know, you know, America's the, in America, Palestinians make up the biggest amount of refugees, and there are a lot in the capital region. And they were doing traditional dances, and, you know, it was like muddy, but everybody, like, you know, just had a really great time and sort of like held space for each other. And, you know, obviously Israel is now going to stop the genocide because the people in Troy showed up. No, I kid, yeah. But it nonetheless was, I think, very helpful for the people who were participating.
How long was the route? The march ring?
I think we probably marched like maybe 2 or 3 miles total, like loop. Oh, wow. Like, you know, it was a pretty extensive loop in downtown Troy. And yeah, people were coordinating over like walkie-talkie to make sure that traffic was being blocked so that nobody came close to running over a ton of protesters.
Right.
And then, yeah, like it all went off without a hitch.
What was the public response like?
Largely great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, the only people I saw upset were white people who you know, their dress coded them in my eyes as liberals, like probably New York Times subscribers. There was one woman who stopped me and was like, what's this all about? And I was like, oh, it's a rally to end the genocide in Gaza. And she goes, I knew it.
Yeah, probably because of all the Palestinian flags.
Because there's an ongoing genocide in Gaza. Yeah.
And yeah, didn't say anything other than that with a really, you know, like a scowl, and then walked away.
Man, she's real detective there.
Well, David, you were just telling me the other day that now at this point, over 70% of all voters, including Republicans, are calling, want to see a permanent ceasefire.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a
very popular opinion.
It's incredibly popular. It's a thing that Joe Biden could do tomorrow. You know, it's really insane. And the uncommitted vote that happened in Michigan, like, got was bigger than the difference between, like, I think any presidential candidate since 2016. Yeah, 100,000 voters voted uncommitted in the primary in Michigan, and it now sounds like Minnesota, which I think might have the second or third highest Muslim population in the country. It's significant.
Yeah.
Is going to pick this up next. But the thing is that, like, we don't live in a democracy, right? Yeah. So it's like, it's not.
And certainly not from a primary perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. So, which, you know, it's funny because, like, the current primary system that we have was designed basically to alleviate these specific pressures.
Yeah.
And it's now not working.
Yeah.
Right. Nothing's working.
Yeah. Because, well, and I think the reason it's not working now is because we now have more ability to see each other in real time, like, voting the way that we are. Right. Which was not the case when the system was first put in place to kind of, like, make sure that candidates, by the time they got to the general, weren't all beat up, you know, as, like, you know, like, their brand was intact.
Yeah.
And it's just not happening. Yeah. Which I think also that you just couldn't. It's just no lipstick you could put on this pig to make you want to kiss it.
The shitification of U.S. democracy is, like, hopefully latest stage imaginable, but probably not.
Seems to always be more ground to make.
Meanwhile, there's allegedly a ceasefire negotiation that's happening in Cairo today. And, you know, like, from the US/Israel side, they're claiming that they are ready to do a permanent ceasefire as long as Hamas comes to the table with their demands. I didn't look into the details, but who knows?
Hamas has already offered to give up all the Israeli hostages. So I don't see what more capitulations they can make.
Self-immolate all of them. Every single member of Hamas. Right.
We didn't even talk about that. Jesus.
Yeah.
What a story.
Yeah. That
US airmen.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have time to get into it now, but
There was a U.S. airman who self-immolated, and his final words were "Free Palestine." And the liberal media is like, "Oh, mental health? Yeah, mental health. That's the thing that is at the heart of this story.
Which is like, so, I mean, here's the thing. Mentally healthy people don't set themselves on fire. But who can be mentally healthy at a time like this?
Good
who can
question.
Be tuned into what is happening in the world and be like, oh yeah, I'm feeling great. I mean, I don't understand how you can, you know, say that, oh, this is a result of like depression or something. Like that's just, I mean, as you know, Biden. And I have like a diagnosed mental illness, so I'm not I'm not one to say like, oh, it's all fake. But like, it is just so absurd to me that you would say that this is proof of some kind of like diagnosable mental health condition when, you know, I've said this before about like mass shooters too. Like nobody who goes into an elementary school and shoots 30 children is a mentally healthy person.
Of course not.
But that doesn't mean that you write off the incident like that. Like it has no politics because of that. I mean, that's what Absolutely. To me. And hey, guess what? Newsflash. People who are mentally ill can also do politically significant actions and their politics still matter.
Yes.
Like, you know, it's, oh God, this whole thing is really fucking piss man.
And like the police response, right? Like they like they're pointing guns at the guy who's about to self-immolate.
Well,
like,
he's currently on fire on the ground and they're pointing a gun at him. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
As if he's going to walk over and give him a bear hug or something.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we should say his name, Aaron Bushnell.
Aaron Bushnell. Yeah.
Yeah. And he,
So in Gaza this week, there was an attack on a number of people trying to get flour from an aid truck. You know, the Israeli military shelled it, shot people. I think like 100 and some odd people were directly injured or killed by the Israeli military during this aid delivery. And this caused, President Biden to jump into action, deploying C-130s and airdropping over 38,000 meals, mostly into the ocean, but into Gaza. Which works out to 1.7% of the people there who have been starved for 5 months have one meal now.
Yeah.
And so mission accomplished.
Yeah.
It also raises a bunch of other questions, which is to say, if the U.S. is having to airdrop food aid because it doesn't trust the Israeli military to allow food aid, then why is the U.S. military funding Israel? Why are we letting them continue to do this? And it's just like the craziest, like, idiosyncratic reaction that is both too late and too, like, meager to make any difference. And it's just like, I don't know how to handle this reality of like being in the fucking country where there's no goddamn daylight between the two insanely bad choices that are being offered as it relates to foreign policy and specifically around this genocide. And I have no idea what the fuck is going to be required to make any material progress. And
it is really so difficult to find anyone that likes either of these candidates. that are on offer, you know.
And it's the like only person really, they like least,
yeah,
is Nikki Haley.
Yeah. Right.
So we're going to talk a little bit more. We're going to talk about the Intercept's reporting on the New York Times reporting on the mass systematic rape reports, and we're going to talk about that on the bonus episode, which you can hear at patreon.com/ironweed. It's going to talk about a couple other things too. Rich guy on rich guy violence, very sad. You sad. Hate to see very, it. Elon Musk suing Sam Altman.
It's part of their culture.
It is part of the culture.
It's a culture. It's a culture of poverty.
Yeah.
Moral poverty. Ooh, gotcha.
And I think we're good for a wildflower if you guys are ready.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, please. All right, let's see.
So we have never seen sex between humpback whales.
You haven't.
Until now. And it was gay sex. So we know that dolphins and killer whales... you're not supposed to call. I think killer whales is not politically correct anymore. You're supposed to call them orcas. So we have seen gay sex between dolphins and orcas, but now the first humpback sex we've ever seen is between two male whales. This is just off the Hawaiian coast.
Humpback broke back.
Humpback mountain.
Humpback mountain. There we go. There it is. All right.
I think this is so fucking cool.
Yeah. They're wearing little cowboy hats.
Researchers have never even seen their penises aside from them urinating. So this is like a pretty big deal. They believe so. Humpback whales have these slits in them. I think it's called like a genital slit that the penis retracts.
like a cloaca from whales.
Yeah. And so they believe that male humpbacks may have sex with each other either through the anus or through the genital slit. So you got options.
Wow.
I don't know if they do oral.
Baleen probably gets in the way.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
That's like like doing it with a girl with braces. That's kind of like
they don't. Yeah, don't do it.
It's pretty cool, man. Being gay is totally natural.
Yeah, wicked. I
What do you think it was like? I assume this was first. There's some scientists on a boat. What do you think it's like? All being there together, we're seeing it.
Watching
we're seeing
sex.
It. Well, first it's like we're seeing the sex.
Yeah,
and then finding out that it's gay sex.
Yeah,
and then. There was
probably one guy who was really pissed about it.
Yeah,
I guarantee there was at least like one guy who really didn't like it.
Yeah, and it's not. And he's like, no, it's I like my nephew's gay. That's not the problem. I really cared about this one very specific scientific discovery that won't work. That's why I'm mad about it.
Yeah,
but everyone knows that that's not why.
That's not why. It's because he's homophobic.
Yeah, it's because he's homo humpback phobic.
All right. Well, I think that'll do it for this episode of Iron Weeds. Hope you enjoyed it. If you hadn't had a chance to listen yet, the full series on the John Birch Society has been released on our Patreon as well as my Patreon for a reaction.
It's fantastic.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
I'm glad that you're enjoying
it. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the episodes will be released weekly starting this coming Friday, March 8th. So you can get that anywhere that you get your podcasts. And there's also going to be a couple of bonus episodes, so if you want to hear those, you should subscribe at either Patreon site.
Just one little taste of what this story is about. The fluorination in the water thing that the John Birch Society is against is literally because it's bad for the small businesses of dentists.
Yes.
That is why.
Well, and because it's communist mind control.
Well, it was also invented by a candy maker. That's so fucking crazy. A candy maker was concerned about cavities.
He did say that fluoridation was bad for small business dentists.
Small businesses and dentists.
Oh, see, whereas he is good for small businesses.
Yes.
he's actually a economic generative motor.
Yeah. Can you they're all in it together. They give you the cavities. They take away your medicine. Give you poison.
And he invented the sugar daddy, which is the most stick to your teeth, like enamel rotting candy you can get.
And it's called sugar daddy,
which is sus. Giving sugar daddies to little kids? I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
And also, talk about being self-sufficient and having a work ethic. And you invent sugar daddies?
I should have had you write the script for this series.
It's so good.
Oh, man. Anything else to plug, fellas?
The Philosophy Tube video came out.
We put that in the show notes of the last episode.
So that's
check
out
that
and available.
I
was also interviewed on a different show called Chasing Leviathan, which is also a philosophy podcast. Total random connection there. And that came out the following Sunday. So you can check that out.
We'll put that in the show notes as well.
Yeah, and you can actually see me talking, which, if you only got it through audio version, you can get that crazy feeling when you watch someone who you've only seen or heard them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You see them
totally
make the sounds. It's
time.
It's always very weird. So you can have that experience.
Hell yeah. Well, that's awesome. Zum Giuliani's got a show booked at the El Dorado on Saturday, April 6th. That's going to be our next show. And we are recording our next full length album.
That'll be your third, Woo! Right?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Wow, man. That's awesome.
Pumping them out.
I'm very excited about it. I like all the songs a lot. And
we've heard some of them. They are, in fact, good.
Yeah. And I think that people will be satisfied with when it releases. But we'll be playing the new material on April 6th if you want a little bit of a preview.
All right.
Very cool. And in the meantime, you can find us on Twitter.
Ironweeds Pod.
And on Instagram.
Ironweeds Pod.
And you can send us an email if you want to reach out at ironweedspod.
@gmail.com.
Thank you so much. We love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Peace.